Hi, this is Wendy Whalen. Thank you for joining us on New Combinations. Amy Hall Garner.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I'm so happy to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you were somebody that we were looking at for a long time and had you like lined up, but it was kind of like we wanted to save you for a special moment. So the 75th was like, that's Amy's turn. Amy's gonna
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the fact that 75 is a good number.
Yeah.
It's a good number. And it's like the future. When I saw that in the brochure, I said, Oh, the future. That made me start thinking about what I wanted to say with this work.
Yeah.
Have a nod to the past and also have a nod to where my voice is choreographically and then my relationship with ballet and then also with this organization, me being, you know, my 14-year-old self many, many, many years ago at the School of American Ballet. So, yeah.
Just tell us a little bit how you got started in dance and how did you get into where you are?
Yeah, version. If we go back to the beginning,
yeah.
I got started in dance, my mom. Uh-huh. My mom's she's a flutist and she's a musician and she just loved dance her whole life. And she said, when I have a daughter, I'll put her in dance. And she did.
Did she dance, your mom?
No. Well, she did a little bit. But not study.
Okay.
She was more into music.
She's a mover, yeah.
She was into music. So mm-hmm. she put me in dance and I immediately loved it. You know, it was one of those things. It was an extracurricular activity, mm-hmm. but I had a great teacher when I first started. Like, this is like when I was like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
And she saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself or my mom. You know, we weren't even thinking that Amy's going to be a dancer when she grows up.
Yeah.
This was just something to do for coordination and for fun.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a Southerner. Yeah. Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
And this particular teacher, her name is Dori Sheehy. Mm-hmm. She had a small school at the time in Huntsville, Alabama. She was a June Taylor dancer.
Oh.
And she had moved with her husband to Huntsville. Huntsville is a very eclectic town because it has like engineering. Like a lot of people don't grow up in Huntsville. They come to Huntsville.
Okay.
So she was one of those people who came to Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a small school at the time. And my mom enrolled me in that school. Mm-hmm. And about a year or two after that, she closed the school. But she kept teaching me privately.
Wow.
Yeah, she taught me privately in the basement of her church.
Wow.
Yeah, and so she taught me privately in the basement of her church for many, many years. I think probably till I was like in fifth grade. But then I also went to a ballet school.
Okay.
Simultaneously. I had her privately, then I went to a ballet school, Community Ballet Association.
Was it all ballet?
All
so
ballet.
Far
all
there?
Ballet so far.
Okay, wow.
All ballet so far. And, you know, movement classes. But I did, it was ballet, heavy, heavy ballet. I did the Nutcracker. I started off, you know, very small. So then when I got in high school, I was Sugar Plum Fairy. So I did all the roles. But then I started incorporating tap and jazz at another studio. So at one point...
You couldn't get enough.
I know. At one point, you know, in my dance journey or my dance education, I had a private teacher. I was at a ballet school. And then I also went to a dance studio that did like competitions that had the jazz and the tap. So I was doing a lot of different things, but not realizing how that was feeding me. It was just dance and I loved it. So then, you know, fast forward to high school. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go to college? That's where the seriousness came into play. Like, okay, is this no longer an extracurricular activity. This is something that you love to do. You're actually pretty good at it in terms of like the discipline of it and going to class and just being there. You know, like
clearly,
you're a good student.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's when I auditioned for the School of American Ballet, the mm-hmm. summer program in 1992. I'm dating myself, but in 1992, I auditioned at Atlanta Ballet. We drove from Huntsville to Atlanta so I could audition.
Yeah.
And I auditioned. They did the tendu. You do a tendu in a second.
Yeah.
You know, they do all the things and they give you a class.
Did you feel good in your audition? Did you feel like
I remember my audition.
Yeah.
That's
I have a similar story to you. I mean, I didn't go into tap and other dance forms, but I started at 3 with a small school
mm-hmm.
and continuing. And then I traveled to Cincinnati to mm-hmm. go to my audition from mm-hmm. Louisville. So continue. I want to hear how you felt in that audition.
That audition, I remember what I had on. I had on.
Me too. I have the same story.
Yeah. I had on all pink.
Oh, wow.
I had pink tights on. I had, you know, pink leotard on. I had planned it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, this is the way I'm going to look.
Me too.
When it's something that you love, you just do those things. You don't realize it, but
like
I was
14,
prepared.
13, 15,
I was 14.
14.
I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we traveled, and it was at Atlanta Ballet. I'm remembering it right now as I'm talking to you, where my father parked the car. Like, I remember everything about that audition. I remember feeling that I did a good job. Like, it was class. I was nervous in the beginning, but then I was like, oh, it's a tendu. I don't think I knew how big it was. I just knew this was a prestigious school and that it would be great to go there. Yeah. But the pressure wasn't on me to get in. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, okay, this will be great if it happened. If it doesn't happen, that's okay too. I could do something else in the summer. And so, you know, I did the audition and I felt good about the class. It was a class and you leave.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you get that wonderful letter in the mail.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later, and I got the letter in the mail. I was like, yes! You know, yes! And then we're like, okay, now how are we going to pay for this and get to New York?
Same story. Question? Did someone in Huntsville, Alabama, of your teachers or some mentor in this community guide you to School of American Ballet? Because there's ABT, and then there's School of American Ballet, and there's Joffrey.
Yes.
There's all kinds of great schools and companies, and New York City Ballet is eclectic, and not everybody understands it or gets it. Anyway, just how did you end up going to that?
I see what you're saying. Exactly. When I was 8, I came to New York with my dance teacher, and I went to Joffrey. And I, you know, we took a class at Joffrey. So I was kind of, you know,
feeling it out.
At 8 years old, I saw that. I experienced that. But honestly, Wendy, I saw it in Dance Magazine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw it in Dance Magazine.
Wow. Pictures.
I saw the picture. I used to look at Dance Magazine. It was when I got it. It was like, oh, Dance Magazine's arrived in the mail, and I saw it in the ad in Dance Magazine. You know, it had all the cities they were going to. It had that little chunk of cities and the dates, and they had the picture of whoever was dancing at the bar in the studio, and that's how I saw it.
And you were like,
I was like, that's a date.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this. I knew something about it looked like it was me. That picture looked like it was me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that was, but it looked like it was me in that picture. And that's where I said, Mom, I think this is a good date. It was in February because it was after Nutcracker. It was all after the stuff happened. So it was that. You're making me really think about this.
I love
because
how you're like taking control of this. You're like, we're going to go to this. Mom.
Yeah.
And you're like 14.
I'm 14. And my mom, you know, because she was an artist, she understood. My dad understood, but it was different. He was like, okay, I'm driving.
I'll drive.
You know.
I'll get you there.
Yeah.
Your mom knows what this is about.
Yeah. She's learning, you know, because we had done like the dance competitions, as I said before, we'd done the dance competition. So I knew certain things, but this was different in terms of this was not a competition. This was a school.
Yeah.
And the school is much different. It's like, okay, I'm going to go learn. And I remember seeing it in Dance Magazine. I'm like, this is the date. And the date worked out for us on that weekend, on that Saturday. And we drove and we came back.
Yeah.
And I did the audition. And then I got it in the mail, the letter in the mail.
Yeah.
And we figured out a way to get here.
Yeah.
We figured out a way. Because I went 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, we stayed on 96th Street.
Uh-huh.
And then the second year, we stayed on 58th Street.
Yeah.
And in an apartment, and that's how we did it. And I used to walk from 96th Street every day here to class.
Oh my God.
I would walk to class because I'm from Alabama.
Yeah.
So I'm walking the city. I'm like, this is great. My mom, we would walk together early morning. It was a nice walk before class.
You were warm.
Yeah.
My
hips were going. Yes. It was warm outside and I was warm when I got here.
Wow.
But then another thing happened when I was here.
Yeah.
Because I had that other influence of dance, I would take you take two classes, you take your ballet point and then maybe something else, you know, you take that here. In the afternoons, I would go to Broadway Dance Center.
Got it.
And take jazz with Frank Hatchett.
Amazing.
I would do it. And I would be in the pink tights. I mean, just totally wrong. Just wrong. Like, you know, I look like a little bunhead taking jazz.
Taking it in.
But I was like, I'm here. Why not? You know, and I would walk over there to Broadway Dance, the old Broadway Dance. I think right now it's a publishing house. It's right there on Broadway and 55th on Broadway, 7th, right there on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's a publishing house now.
Yeah,
I would take jazz there. And I would do that like daily. And I would be exhausted by the end of the day, but it was the best 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I returned again in the summer of 93, did it all over again.
Incredible.
So that was my introduction to the School of American Ballet, New York City Ballet, Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
We would walk past Juilliard every day.
Right.
Like all the
Your
things
future
were
was right
it was
there.
Lining, yes. It was a lining up and God. I didn't even realize it, you know. My mom, she lost the diamond in her wedding ring at Juilliard on the red. There was red carpet at that time. The plaza. You remember the plaza?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You walked through Juilliard, it was like this big red carpet that, and then you went down to the escalator at the end of the block.
Yeah.
And for some reason, on one of our walks to SAB, she lost it. So we were like looking for this, you know.
Did you find
this
it?
No, she never did find it. She never did find it.
Oh.
To this day, she never did find it. You know, but you know, those are the things that I remember.
You remember these details.
Yeah, I remember those details of that summer. Mm-hmm. And those were good times. And those two summers doing the dancing here, and I say here at SAB, and then
Lincoln
also
Center,
in Lincoln Center area and all that. That's what kind of changed in me and said, okay, this is what I think I can do this as a profession. Like I went back different after that first summer into my ballet classes at my school. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm different. I'm changed
Your
by that
seed
summer.
Cracked open and the sun hit
it
you
did.
And you went, wow.
It did.
This is available to me.
It did. Like, I mean, I didn't even have contact lenses. I was still wearing my glasses
in
class.
Oh, my God.
I mean, but then I was like, I need contact. I mean, all the little things started really like happening for me.
Yeah,
after that summer, and I said, I want to go. That's why I wanted to go back in 1993. I said, let me go back different and see where it lands. And I didn't, after the two summers, I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew after those two summers, I did not want to be in a ballet company.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to move a little differently. I had the ballet foundation.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to move a little differently, more contemporary, more, more. It fed me a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it fit me better.
Yeah.
And I knew my body type and I saw things like, you know, and yeah, but that was a pivotal point in the trajectory of how my life turned out and the profession that I chose. Yeah.
Yeah. Watching you in the studio, I watched a little tiny bit of your rehearsal
yesterday,
first time, but I feel like all these little details that you're bringing up and talking about, I could see. And I could see just, I mean, the fact that how you found your audition and you got yourself there and then you came in here and you took the classes. But you know what? I think I want to take another class and learn another language on top of what I'm learning and take all of it so seriously. I felt like I could see all of that. I felt like watching you in front of the room. Well, you weren't really in the front of the room. You were in the middle of the room.
I was in the middle.
Because you dance with your people.
I danced
and
behind
you're creating
them,
it with them. And you just seemed so awake to every nuance and every person's, what's going on with every person. And then you see one little thing and you go, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
Like so awake. Your antennas are out all
My
the time.
My antennas are out.
I could feel that.
Yeah.
And I also just felt like how you took control of the space. I was like, you're a good mom. I could feel that you were a good mom. I was like, this is like who I would want leading me forward. And I just, that was my instinct. And then your baby came in the room.
He did. Henry. He did. He just walked in.
And he just knew what to do. Put his headphones on.
He put like, his iPad out. He's like, okay, mom's working.
But he's watching what you're creating. And I felt like excited to see him watch you create some beautiful steps and like the shapes. And he just seemed curious of what's mom making now.
Yes. And then he goes back to looking at Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
On the iPad. But you know, I love being in the studio.
Yeah.
I love what I do.
You
I like
tell.
To have a good time.
Yeah.
I like to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, I like to work hard. Don't get it, you know,
for
twisted.
Sure.
But I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
I think that's a sacred space, the studio, because I don't see the dancers. Once they go on stage, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't see them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I may see them for a brush-up rehearsal, but again, I'm back in the studio most of the time. I'm not on stage with them. So that's my place when I think about this work or all the works that I've done.
Uh-huh.
I think about the studio. It's not the stage performance at all. And that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the magic is. I'm going to not quote Quincy Jones, but paraphrase it. You know, at some point you have to let God into the room and into the space.
Yeah.
You know, and some those and that's why I'm always my antennas are up because I'm like, what happened? Okay.
Right.
Wait, you made that wrong. Oh, wait, that was wrong, but that was right.
all the possibilities are there.
Yeah, all the possibilities that you have no control over, that you can't micromanage, it will be in there because we're doing it.
And we're focused together on it.
Yeah, and I just love it. Yesterday we had the three couples and we were trying to figure out that one part, that one phrase, because I want that to be eight couples, but I have to see how it looks and also how it looks on different bodies.
Right.
Because something that looks good on this person may not feel right on this person or look the same way. So I want everybody to be lifted and elevate in how they look in the movement. So that's why I have like different people in the room too, and the antennas are always up and I'm always watching and the details and stuff. And also I like coaching, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I like coaching it. I think that's important too, to like see it, sleep, come back in the studio, see it again, and then get the fine tuning of it and let it settle with the dancers and let them, whatever artistry they bring, then we match it again together.
Well, in that little moment that I watched like an hour of rehearsal, but you were really deep in creative mode. Like, let's check this out, and I want you guys to participate with me. And you were working with one dancer, a small-bodied dancer, and she's very classical, this girl. Mm-hmm. And you were getting her to open up her shapes and lengthen the shape. And I just felt like I was watching someone working with clay. I felt like you were creating, she was your clay.
Yes.
And you were, how quickly I saw an evolution in this dancer.
Ah.
Who's very, very classically general.
Yes.
And I was like, wow. I've never seen her look so long or so open. And then just these fine little details you were working on. Like,
yeah.
Let your tush go out. You
know?
Just,
exactly.
And then let yourself wind that way. And it was just like,
yeah,
really
deep in the plie when the fingers go. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the littlest details. I couldn't believe how it shifted this dancer in ways I've never seen her move before.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed really fun for you.
It is.
To like evolve people, help someone see their own potential.
When I see a dancer, I think I see what they could be. The possibility of, oh, well, they're this type. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. That's good. But there's something else in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could find it, and that's my challenge as the choreographer, as the dance maker, as the collaborator, to find that and pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love to do. I love to go, okay, I see a drop of something.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's in class, I'm like, I see something. Okay, I could use this person. Mm-hmm. Let's cast. Because I saw it, you know, in the class or wherever I see the dancer. I love that. That's I don't know if it's a gift or it's just something that just happens, but I get excited about that. Like it just is like, ooh, here we go. Let's pull it out. And then that's the hard work I'm talking about. Like, I like to have fun, but that's the hard work, because sometimes that could be a challenge for some dancers.
Yeah.
Because they're
moving differently. Well, they have to be open to it.
Right.
They have to enjoy that process as well.
Yes, yes. And when you get someone who enjoys it, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. That's when the goosebumps come, because you're like, this doesn't happen every day.
Right.
And people don't experience that kind of synergy every day.
Right.
And it's just beautiful to see and it's beautiful to feel. And that's when you're like, thank God I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's those moments right there. Yeah.
Let's go back to when you started choreographing, how you started choreographing. I look at you today and I'm thinking, I feel like I could put you in any situation and you'd be like, of course I can make a dance for this or whatever you need. Because you have.
I have.
But literally. And there's probably something else that you haven't, that you will in the future. But you embody movement and musicality.
Thank you. Yeah.
It feels like to me. And I'm going to quote Michael Novak, because I read this. There's a Times piece on you. And when I read this one quote from him, I was like, that's exactly how I felt. But he said, watching your piece that you made at Juilliard in 2019, which was the first piece of yours I'd seen.
Yes.
He said, there was something so deeply musical and joyous in her work that I kind of fell in love. And I was like, that's how we felt. Same thing. Tell us about making dances.
Yeah, that was Sight and Sound. That was, Juilliard. That moment for me, making that piece, I was striving for that. You know, like, I wanted to, I mean, it was my alma mater. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I have to come back and, like, we need to hit this hard. And I had the dancers, that the freshmen, and they were hungry to do that. And being open, like we were saying, having that synergy moment. But how I got into choreography, I mean, like all young dancers, we move the we move the coffee table and dance around the house. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, you just start moving and you put on a piece of music and, you know, you imaginary, you teach class to imaginary people. Like, I did all those things.
Yeah.
But by the time I had gotten to Juilliard, our freshman year, Benjamin Harcarvey was the director at the time. And in our syllabus, we had to take composition, comp one, comp two, your second year. And I enjoyed that. That was something I'm like, this is different. This is new. I kind of like this. So I kept taking, I took like another composition course my junior year. Mm-hmm. And then I took all the composition courses I could there. Mm-hmm. And I made dances while I was there. Mm-hmm. I made like a quartet here. I made, you know, I had a senior production as like they pick like six choreographers in the class. And I say all that to say that that's when I started getting the juices were like the drop had happened in terms of, oh, dance making, this may could be a thing. Mm-hmm. But then we really don't want to do that because we want to dance. We want to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. That's what we came here for. We didn't come here to be a dance maker. And some people do. They, you know, they know, like, I'm going to be a choreographer. This is what I do. That wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I just happened to kind of, I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I kept going while I was at school. So then after I graduated.
You're a multitasker for life. Right?
Yeah.
You're like, I can do this. I can this and that.
Yeah.
And then if you want me to do this, I can also do that.
Right. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Right.
But then after graduation, I stopped. You know, that was it. No more dance making. I went into Fosse, the Broadway show, and toured there and loved that. And choreography was not something that was even on the brain. Doing eight shows a week was on my brain. Enjoying the material I was doing was on, you know, that's what fed me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like a couple years after that, you know, once you get into that rhythm of doing commercial work and going from job to job, hopefully, fingers crossed, that you're like, I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. And the something else came in the form of my best friend, Darrell Grand Moultrie, who was an active choreographer. He still is a very active choreographer right now, and doing amazing work. But he was like, you know, can you come in the studio with me and just help assist? You have a great eye. He's like, your attention to detail.
I can see that too.
You have a great eye. You could help me clean things. Yeah. I was like, sure. I mean, that was fun for me. I was like, sure. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I got back in the studio, being on the other side. I was like, this feels good being here. You know, he was like, take that section, clean that, figure out that on that side of the room. Those small tasks started becoming bigger tasks. Mm-hmm. And then I started making movement again, so to speak. And that's how it kind of started. Then I started making movement for like theater. And then I started making movement for other people, like jury solos. So I was always straddling concert world in theater in that moment of making new work or making work for myself. Mm-hmm. Never thought it would be a career like it is now, but I was like, this could be something. And then he was really supportive and gracious in the studio and outside the studio and giving me feedback and honest critiques. You need somebody you need somebody who knows you, knows your language, knows your eye, and knows what to say to get you to move forward.
Did you guys go to school together?
We did. Not in the same class.
Okay.
I'm a class older.
But you knew each other from
Juilliard. That's where we met.
Okay.
That's where we met. Yeah. And I think that's important. You have to have somebody that you can trust, who has your back and says, I see you. This is what I see in you, kind of like what I see in the dancers.
Right.
Let's go forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to help you go forward. Mm. And, you know, that's very rare. Mm-hmm. And I'm forever grateful for that moment, or still to this day, those moments that he is helping me out and just giving me that wisdom and those conversations back and forth. Like, that's a real artistic and friendship. And more, it's more than artistic friendship. It's a friendship. And
his mentor.
He's
like an angel.
An angel.
Yes.
I will definitely say that. And he is that to many people as well. But you do need that because we often say that we don't have a lot of mentors. We don't have mentors. We kind of mentor ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it was in that moment that I kind of like stepped forward and go, okay, let me see what I can do with this. The ball started to roll like really slowly. And then I got a huge opportunity with ALEE 2. Mm. Troy Powell, who was the director there at ALEE 2 at the time. Mm-hmm. That was my full like 20-minute work. We're not going to do a, you know, 5-minute work or a short section. Look, we're going to do a body of work. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do a whole piece. Mm-hmm. So that was in 2011. Okay. I want to say 2011. That was the first one. It's called Virtues. And that kind of started the ball rolling with the commissions that I would start to get. And people noticing that I could do a full body of work like that, you know, that mm-hmm. four sections, a journey, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Beginning, middle, and end.
Beginning, middle, and end. Yeah. Because that's hard to do.
Yes.
To try to find that rhythm and then have what do you want to say in the beginning, in the middle, and the end.
Right.
And how to say it and keep everybody interested and keep yourself interested and the audience and the dancers and challenging. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot. But I think you have to crawl before you walk. Mm-hmm. And it was good to be in those moments with Durrell and also setting some of his work, because I got to speak to dancers in the studio. You get to know your language and you get to know personalities.
And you don't have to choreograph it.
And you don't have to choreograph. Yeah.
Give it like almost as if you are.
Yes. And you learn how to speak to dancers and what motivates them and all that coaching, that vocabulary. And that's important. You know, you're just not setting a piece and then leaving and walking out the door. Mm-hmm. Like you're nurturing. You can nurture without creating, mm-hmm. which is good, because mm-hmm. then you have to do both later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to do both later on to get, you know, to get the ballets where you want them to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I got back into dance making, or got into dance making again.
As a more serious,
future, more focused future. Like, yes. Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from those Broadway divas that you worked with? Anne Reinking,
Susan Stroman. Yeah. Yeah. All of them.
Like,
Cheetah Rivera.
I mean, those are like... powerful women.
Very powerful women.
They've got to be birds on your shoulder right now.
They do, yes.
And
yes.
What do they tell you when you move into a space and create?
The professionalism, being prepared, and being secure. That's it. Being secure in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I think back about those women and mm-hmm. you know, all of them are gone now. You know, with Cheetah recently passing, all of them are gone, except for Susan Stroman. She's here.
She'll probably be here to see your show.
Oh, good, yes. But, you know, just being secure. Like, they were always very prepared when they came in the studio. And each one of them had their different isms and different things. But collectively, they were very prepared. They knew what they wanted. And they knew how to get what they wanted from the dancers in the room, from the artists in the room. Mm-hmm. And it may have been done a different way. But I enjoyed all of it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of take all of it in the studio with me. Like, you know, you are who you studied and who you've been with. Mm-hmm. And so I take all of that into the studio. But I would say all of them are very confident women and they're very secure mm-hmm. in what they do. And you have to take that when you come into the studio. So I've really taken that mm-hmm. and been really secure.
And seeing them, these women in charge, mm-hmm. I mean, that has to have been helpful. I can be like that, too.
Yeah.
Because in this field, you don't always see women in charge, but maybe it was a little more
from
that genre that the women were more leading
at that
time. Yeah. Yeah.
At that time, now that I'm thinking, Wendy, you're making me think.
I like to do that.
At that time, I had worked with Anne Reinking. I had worked with all women.
Yeah.
In the beginning of my career, it was mm-hmm. all women. All of the work I was getting was through women. They were either the choreographer or the artistic director or the director.
Yeah.
They were all women.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, yeah, I wasn't
you
introduced.
You don't realize how that feeds your future.
I did not, yeah.
And how you reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was used to seeing a woman in the front of the room.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was nothing new for me at that moment.
You're like, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but I have good stories about all of them.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do. Like all good, and by stories I mean just things that you remember and you take with you.
Yes,
you know,
gifts
that you take with you into the studio, whether you use them or not, you have them, and they make you who you are.
And they have that generation, that bygone generation that we'll never know.
We'll never. Yeah,
but you put some of that in your work sometimes. I loved seeing your piece for, was it Ailey?
Ailey.
Your grandfather?
Century, yeah.
Yes. And Century. I didn't really read the notes on that, but you made it for your grandfather.
It's my granddad. It's his 100th birthday gift.
Yeah. And you like tapped into the music that he listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And your son is named after him.
Yes, Henry. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought, I loved how you put yourself and your heart into that.
Definitely.
When you make a piece, you tap into some message or reason, or is it the music, or is it the dancer, or how do you begin a process? What's comfortable for you to begin with in your process?
To begin my process,
is it always different?
Music.
Oh yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
First and foremost, music. It's music, and what do I want to say?
Mm-hmm.
So with this particular work here at City Ballet, it's what do I want to say with this work? Mm-hmm. Now let me find the music that helps me say it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to show the love of the classical technique, the line, mm-hmm. the beauty of it, the elegance of it. But then I wanted to put my feeling on top of it, mm-hmm. my musicality on top of it, the way I see it, and stretch the dancer in terms of how only certain ballet dancers can be stretched with that technique. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work with ballet dancers, when you work with modern dancers, it's different. Mm-hmm. The gifts are different. Mm-hmm. And so with this particular ballet, it started with, what do I want to say? Then what's the music that will help me say it? Mm-hmm. With the other ballet, it was a gift for him. So it started off with, this is for him. What is his music? What represents him? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's different, but always the common denominator is that music.
Yeah. I remember when you were kind of picking your cast, you saw a few shows, not a ton of shows, but you wanted mm-hmm. to watch class.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not everybody wants to, you know, everybody's like, well, I see dancers best in this vantage point. Like a lot of people just want to catch them from the show and say, that person sticks out.
Right.
What did you find in the dancers that you chose for your piece? Because you have a very eclectic group of dancers.
I do.
They're of all levels. Uh-huh. There are most senior principals to our apprentice level, but they're all dancing in a democratic. From what I know about this, you can, if I'm wrong,
we mix
it
up.
Yeah, it's very much a community group.
It's a community, yes. It's a community kind of piece. You know, I don't, I understand the principal soloist core. I understand the hierarchy, but then the common denominator is dance.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it. Who comes on the Marley? Mm-hmm. Everybody that is in the piece, I respect equally. Mm-hmm. I don't look at him in that way. Mm-hmm. I look at him as equals because mm-hmm. they're dancers. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a short career. Mm-hmm. And I want you on the Marley as much as possible. And I mm-hmm. want you to show your gifts as much as possible. So that's how I'm coming into the studio. But I wanted to watch class mm-hmm. because I like it's the energy in the room. Good people. You see who they are. Mm-hmm. You see who they are in between combinations, how they look, mm-hmm. how they take directions. Are they paying attention and focus to the teacher, or are they kind of doing their thing, looking their dance back? You know, you see the little things, and that's
huge.
It's huge. It's telling.
People don't really realize.
It's telling.
They don't really realize.
You can
quite
see it in 5 seconds.
Much. Yeah.
You can see it in 5 seconds. I'm like, yep, yes, yes.
X-ray.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. You know, you see it. You see it, and it's the energy in the room, and you want to match it right. I'm trying to match my energy with theirs and their energy with mine. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I like to see class, just to see, mm-hmm. yes, how they move, but then also who they are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's when you can kind of see who they are in their everyday casual class, not all dolled up with light, scenery, costumes, mm-hmm. orchestra. Mm-hmm. That's a difference. We want that too. And I saw performances too, but I like to see who they are because mm-hmm. that will help me figure out how I want to use them mm-hmm. and where I want to use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from seeing your piece at Juilliard and then Ailey, and then you coming to see the ballet, and then we went backstage and you were like, that dancer, tell me about that dancer. Mm-hmm. And because you had seen them on stage, but you were mm-hmm. like, you liked something very specific about them. And generally it was like a technique, like a strong technique.
Yeah,
or a fire.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, of course. She's looking for fire because uh-huh. that I feel that in the pieces that I've seen. Now, tell us a little bit about your music, because some of these composers I've never heard of myself. I'm not a musician.
I know. I have to get
either,
but to get the list out because I go blank on some of the
a little bit of a playlist, kind of, right? A
it's
different
a,
genre.
Five different pieces.
Modern, contemporary, and older.
Modern, contemporary, classical. Very contemporary piano, and then very classical with the Respighi at the end.
Yeah.
It takes a journey. I love doing a musical journey. We start mm-hmm. off with Jonathan Dove, mm-hmm. and then we end with Respighi at the end, Pines of Rome. And I wanted to do that on purpose. Normally, mm-hmm. I end with ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Ha-cha!
Ha-cha! You know, a closer. Yeah. Like that. But I said, let me do something that's different because it's challenging for me.
Yeah.
It'll be challenging for me, and it'll push me in a different direction. Mm. You know, every opportunity, no matter how big or how small, we have to grow, right? Mm-hmm. So this is my growth here. Let mm-hmm. me see what I could do with a different ending. Let me see how I could do with a different ending. Mm-hmm. What is that challenge? How do I start to jump over this hurdle?
Uh-huh.
what do I want to say here? How can I say it? Is this actually what I want to say when it comes on the Marley? Because sometimes you could start it and I'm like, this is not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a whole nother journey. But with this piece, yeah, I have five different composers. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see how the journey happens throughout the piece. When, I mean, I have it in my head, but then when you see it on stage, it's like, oh, okay, this is working. Or do we need a longer pause here? Or do we need the blackout here to massage that? You know, it's a whole thing that's happening with Mark Stanley and then also costumes with Mark Happel. Uh-huh. Like, there's a whole moment. There's a change that happens. Uh-huh. Like, I think it can work in my head, but it's always, once you see it on stage, you go, okay, let's figure it out together. So that's another puzzle you have to figure out that we'll figure out next week when we start teching. But but the music is, it's like a playlist, and I always do that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I always do that. Sometimes I have done a concerto, Allegro, Adante. I've done all that. Mm-hmm. But this, for me right now, I said, no, let me do something that's more in line with what I'm thinking for City Ballet. And these pieces of music felt like they were in line with my original thought and what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Did those SAB classes come back? And
they did.
Yeah. Did you kind of feel like you could understand the dancers because, I remember the way we were taught to do that certain thing.
Yes. Yeah. The plie. And then, there's a certain aesthetic and how they go through the shoe, you know, how they cross fifth, the little things that I remember.
Do you feel like you are getting to play with
I love it.
The 14 and 15 year old Amy?
I love it. Know, I mean, that, and that's who knew back then?
Right.
Maybe that was the reason why.
Right.
For
right.
this moment,
right.
so I could understand the language here.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know, your steps are ordered, so you don't know when they're going to happen. You just keep stepping. Mm-hmm. And I get their aesthetic. It's and even the hands, you know. You know, there's a certain epaulement, the port-a-bras that's with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it all, and I love it. And so I'm trying to, like, wrap my brain around what they do, and then how can I wrap what I want to say and my choreographic voice around that as well.
Mm.
Yeah. It's happening slowly.
Yeah! I can't wait to see it. It feels the music
slowly.
I mean, from what I've heard and then the moments that I saw, I felt spring and I felt movement forward. So
yeah.
I just feel I'm really excited that this is your spot. This is your moment here at City Ballet at the 75th anniversary and the future. And I feel like you really represent that with your history.
Ah.
And
thank you.
Your natural, your artistic trajectory of being able to understand so many parts of dance, so many aspects of it, qualities of it. I just think that that's important. It's not one siloed idea. You play with so many moving.
I try. I'm trying. You know, it's a work in
progress. It feels like it's you, though. It just feels like that's like, and it feels rare. It just feels like you have extra tools in your toolkit from your own history. And I feel like that represents the future is being able to do more than one thing, speak more than one language, and play with many groups.
Yes.
You know, and that feels like you.
Well, it's an honor to be part of the 75th season, anniversary season.
Yeah.
And I just do what I know.
Yeah.
And what I've studied, you know, like I said, like when I was here at School of American Ballet, like I went over to take jazz and that's in here too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in there somewhere. It comes out. Eventually it will come out. What you know comes out. And that's just the education and musicality. I played instruments. I mean, my mom, she was a musician. So I played violin and flute. I was a Suzuki kid when I was four.
Yeah.
So then, like, speaking to Andrew yesterday with the score, like I know how to read a score because I was in orchestra. I was in the first, I was in the second violin section.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the first violin section because I couldn't practice like I wanted to because I was dancing, you know.
Right.
But at least I sat in an orchestra, so I know what that is. When I hear those things, when we tune up, I know, you know, the woodwind section, the brass section. I know all of that. I played, you know, all through high school in orchestra and band.
Yeah.
So all of that's coming into play now.
Yeah.
And I did know why I was doing all that. It was just stuff I did.
Mm-hmm.
But now I go, oh, this is why I did it. Because I needed to have that in my tool case. So when it was the time, when it is the time, as it is now, I can use it.
Yeah.
And I do use it. So, yeah.
I'm filled with admiration for you, Amy. I'm so happy that you're spending some time with us in the studio, and I really can't wait to see your piece.
Me too.
Yeah.
I always say that because I'm like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it, you know? And sometimes you don't see it when you're in it.
Yeah.
You have to come back and see it.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see it when it's done. We're going to be
get
done soon.
A little
soon.
Shift advantage.
A little shift. Yeah, a little distance, and then you see it. You go, okay, that's the piece. Yeah. So I can't wait for that moment to happen. But I'm loving the creation, and we're about to
get back in there and do more.
Do more. Aww. That's what we do.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay.
Thank you for listening to City Ballet. To stay up to date on episode releases, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We hope to see you soon in the theater, so head over to nycballet.com to have a look at what's on stage.